Good evening all, and welcome to the Wednesday, April 16th, 2025 regular meeting of the Town of Discovery Bay Board of Directors. And if we could please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Kevin, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Kelly, would you roll call?
Roll call is taken. Let the record show all members are present, with the exception of Director Porter, who is absent.
Wonderful. All right, and we are now going to open public comments, first for the people on the phone. And to remind everyone, public comments is 3 minutes. You'll have 3 minutes to please talk. And there is no back and forth. We can't answer your questions now. But if you need to, please leave your information and we can get back in touch with you. All right. Is there anyone on the phone that would like to make a public comment?
There are no hands raised.
All right, with that, we will close the phone public comment and open in person. Again, this is for anything not on the agenda. Is there any public comment? Please, come on up. Please give us your name when you get to the podium.
My name is Adolph Cordova, Discovery Bay resident, and I'd like to address the renting of the courts, the Cornell Park, pickleball courts.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, it's open play, and whoever wants to play just puts a paddle in. Right now, the last week and the last 2 weeks, a group of people from outside of the area, I think there's been one or two residents, they've got like a club for coming in and renting the pickleball courts from 9 to 12 during the prime time that anybody can play and without having heat. And it's going to get worse as the summer goes on. And they're renting them for putting a $50 deposit down and whatever the rent is, which is minimal. So it's turning into like a private club for a group of people that's not allowing the residents of Discovery Bay to play. And if they're going to have open play like we do here, it seems reasonable to me that we should have be open to everyone, or at least let's leave the prime time open for everyone and try to rent the park or the courts in the afternoon, which aren't as desirable for the residents who are here to play.
Thank you for your comment. Do we have your contact information?
No.
Kelly, would you have them just fill it out, please? Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to make public comment? Now's your chance. And with that, we will close public comment. Now going on to the consent calendar. C.
Motion to approve.
Second.
And with that, we'll take the... Kelly, we'll do a roll call vote.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Coteau?
Aye.
President Grant?
Aye. Now we are on D, presentations. And Anthony with Veolia, please come up to the podium.
We did have a
hazmat inspection in the county and found no, absolutely no deficiencies whatsoever, not even minor. So that's really, really kick. I'm trying not to cuss and say great job. And then focusing on ergonomics, and we're up to 636. So, next slide, please. For the water system, all of our water wells are online except for two. One is offline due to electrical failure on the vertical motor inside the building. It is the only active well we have left that still has vertical motor and shaft driven pump on the water. So it is by far the oldest well we have in service right now. And we are looking, waiting on calls to repair that motor, potentially looking at other options to be more efficient with the future of what to. Filter C is still offline and technically abandoned in place until filter 2 comes online to fully replace those in the future. Filter 1 is online, no issues, been running very well, and we were able to actually produce before 2 went down, actually produce water from all 3 groundwater wells through the well treatment plant with A, B, and filter 1 online. So something the survey's never been able to do in the history. So that's a good, good feat. And you can see our numbers still keeping a pretty good balance between Willow's operation and Newport's operation, but here in the next couple of months, Newport will start taking.
What type of pump systems do we use on the other wells?
So they're all considered submersible, meaning the pump and the motor, multi-stage pump and motor sit 360 feet underground, and then they use the force to push it above ground. The design of well 2 is the pump is 360 foot underwater, but the motor is above ground, requiring a shaft just like the drive shaft of your car, but from the engine to the transmission kind of thing, or rear end. In this case, it does make it easier to pull the electrical motor because it's above ground as long as you don't drop the shaft. However, sometimes that's the noise issue that you're used to having, that's why they have building around them and things like that.
But a repair would satisfy our requirements as far as.
Good, yes. On the next slide, you can see our water and wastewater trending. If you look today, looking at March, we did see an increased use on, on Newport versus Willow. That is mostly our intention. We intentionally ran one system more than the other because we just replaced the new hypersodium hypochlorite tanks at both plants. So when you saw a little bit of an increase in February, you saw a drastic change, and that's us manipulating the system, just moving water from one plant versus the other. So, I'm happy to inform we now have 1,500 gallon capacity of each water plant for sodium hypochlorite, and that should keep us out of having to do multiple deliveries per week during the peak season. That'll help improve our roads, improve access to in and out of water plants with such a heavy tanker truck, things like that. So it's a good investment for the town, and that will actually help us on emergency response as well. On the next slide, we are in the middle of trying to get some of our hydrant flushing done, as well as bio exercising. Still waiting on the lab for our consumer confidence report, lab numbers that will be due any day now. And then lead copper sampling was done last year, so we're good for another 3 years. And no water quality complaints, pressure complaints, so next slide, please. For wastewater, all of the lift stations are active. No issues to report other than Village 4, or also known as Lakes Lift Station, is officially in bypass. There are temporary pumps set at that station that are routing all the flow into that station that would go around and then pumping it into the system back towards Lakes 3. That will probably be the case for another 3 weeks at the earliest, so we'll probably still go bypass for the next presentation. No issues with that, and we spoke with the HOA yesterday, And the only complaint they had was that our outage didn't encompass their fountain. And so I'm happy to announce that our outage did not encompass the fountain, but if that's the only complaint we got from HOA, that's good news. But if you look at their fountain out there across from the lake, it's been pretty stagnant for the last week or so. Got weed and things like that going, but has nothing to do with the lift station. So. Next slide, please. On the water treatment, wastewater treatment plants, effluent and effluent flows are hanging in there. This time last year, we were at 40 NDD, we're at 32 right now. Some of that is because of the redundancy and because we've been holding back. We pushed a lot of flow out the month before, and then what we were doing, we thought we had some storms coming in there towards early last year, last month, that we needed to make a room for so that we didn't potentially flood the plant. So that's us. We get relating NDBs at 68%. And the nitrates are staying around 5 to 6, which the nitrification project is still working strong. And y'all's used to be favorite numbers still under the old.
And that is the difference between the influent and the effluent. Is that because of the biosolids that we remove? Is that why typically more comes in than goes out? Or
no,
how come more comes in than goes out?
No, what water that comes in and goes out is a lot of different reasons. We're not a conventional package plant, and we are very large. If you look at the evaporation space of wastewater, everything is above atmosphere.
Yeah.
So, evaporation plays a big role in it. Also, pond retention. We can bring in a lot more capacity than we have to export. So basically the difference is the influent number is what's coming into the influent pump station at Old Plant 1. Effluent is what we're actually pumping out to the river.
As needed.
It is very controlled by us. So we can make room. We have a lot of room. We've got the third lagoon now that can hold water for us. We've got several avenues where we can hold water back as long as we need.
Okay. Thank you.
Primary is water quality. Once it gets to the river, we have to make sure that we don't have bus violation and things like that. So, yeah.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? All right. Thank you very much. We will now go on to E, which is discussion and possible action on accepting the water rate study and setting a date for the public hearing. Dina, would you like to introduce our...
Yes, tonight we have Allison Lahovitz from Lahovitz & Sink. She prepared the rate study for us, and so she will give a presentation on the rate study.
Good evening. So I was here 2 weeks ago, gave essentially the same presentation. Last time it was information only to answer questions and get feedback. And tonight is an action item to accept the final report and to proceed with the public noticing process required under Proposition 2. So given that I presented 2 weeks ago, we're going to go a little faster this time so we don't have a Groundhog's Day situation. but I certainly can answer any questions at the end. So next slide, please. The water and sewer utilities are enterprise funds. What that means is they are intended to be their own business units. So the water rates and charges should be fully able to cover water utility costs. And sewer rates and charges have to cover sewer utility costs. They should be totally self-sufficient on their own, you know, not drawing from other town funds. For this process, we follow Proposition 218. That's the legal statute governing how public agencies can adopt water and sewer rate increases. Basically, it provides a lot of ratepayer protections. So we have to demonstrate the actual cost of providing service and then provide notice of the proposed increase to all property owners and ratepayers. Hold a public hearing and tally any protests of the community. And then absent a 50% protest, the town can adopt the rates. So at the end, I'll explain the noticing process a little more in detail. We are here because I last conducted the study 5 years ago. And very briefly, we all remember where we were, early 2020, right as COVID was hitting. The prior study included less than 2% rate increases, as well as inflation 2% over the last 5 years, no. This is a little bit of a catch-up study. We want to make sure that we're covering operating costs, planning for inflationary cost increases over the next 5 years, and then making sure we're able to fund a great deal of capital improvement projects. So those are needed infrastructure improvements to keep your water and sewer systems running. So we covered the slide already, so we can move right along. We up to slide 5, water rates. So the current rate structure includes fixed meter charges based on meter size, plus a volume rate charged to each 100 cubic feet of usage. The fixed portion of the charge for most customers is billed annually on the property tax roll, but the volume rate is billed monthly. So I know a lot of we had some questions I think about that last time. But in total, the water utility is currently collecting about $5 million in revenues from rates. Next slide, please. So based on typical water usage patterns of single-family customers in your service area, the typical bill, so the meter fee plus the usage rate, is about $56, $57. And looking at the typical bills charged by other local agencies, the town of Discovery Bay's bill is pretty low. And that's kind of always been the case. I've been your rate consultant for a while. Your water rates, they have always been low, and then the sewer rates have been on the high side. So it's really important we look at the combined bill. Added together, Discovery Bay's cost of utilities tends to fall in the middle of typical agencies in this area. And then I'll mention it again as we move through the presentation, but most of these other agencies probably are doing the same thing. They have the rate consultants, they're looking at rate increases. Almost no agencies these days keep their rates the same for years and years. Everybody has cost increases, everybody's raising rates over time. Okay, next slide, please. So rate revenue plus other water system revenues are about $5.5 million, and operating costs are about $5.6 million. So already, you know, revenues and expenses are just about even. The problem is we expect cost increases over the next 5 years. So the cost of services, supplies, maintenance, we expect some inflationary cost increases. We are recommending a new employee for regulatory compliance, so we have to factor in that person's salary and cost and into the rates. You do have pretty good cash reserves, so this rate study is also a financial plan, so it's planning for using your reserves wisely, issuing new debt when needed to fund big capital projects, And then also raising rates to cash fund a portion of projects and to cover future debt service. Next slide, please. So we do have a fairly large capital improvement plan. In total, it's about $32.5 million over the next 5 years. So we are planning a portfolio of funding for this. So we do have some solar projects proposed to be funded through subsidized state loans, so the Energy Commission plus iBank, that's the infrastructure bank. And so those are lower than market rate debt. So we talk about in our public messaging, what is the town doing to save the ratepayer money? Subsidized loans, cheap loans, as well as those energy efficient improvements that will lower utility costs. And then the other projects, major projects, include the utility portion, the administrative building, there's a portion of it allocated to water, allocated to sewer, improvements to the wells, and then the big, big costs we're looking at is pipelines. So the mainline pipes plus underwater crossings are a huge portion, about half of that total project cost over the next 5 years. So the plan is to phase in these projects over time and phase in new debt issuances as needed. And that also allows us to phase in rate increases more gradually. So we did look at even higher cost models where we had a very front-loaded capital plan. And that was very expensive for the ratepayer. We had a really jack up rates all at once. We decided to do a more phased and gradual plan to mitigate rate impacts for your community. Next slide, please. I think we can go through this one pretty quickly. I know there's a lot of numbers on there. It's kind of detailed. But the overall idea is you have year over year big expenses related to capital. That's the blue bar as well as the green bar. And we're raising rates as well as issuing debt year over year to keep up with all of that. So next slide, please. So these are the proposed water rates. I did simplify the rate schedule here just for presentation purposes. The notice that will go out to customers will have a full schedule of rates. So this would be an example, a single family customer. So the base meter rate is increasing. The meter replacement fee was adopted a while ago. It's $8.01 monthly, and then it's used to pay back bonds. And that will eventually sunset. So folks only have to pay that 2 more years, and then that fee goes away. We also have a proposed increase to the volume rate and the total combined bill for a typical customer. So it's an increase on the meter fee, and the volume rate is a 22% increase for the first year, proposed to go into effect July 1st, followed by 12%, 12%, 12%. So actual bill impacts will vary based on your meter size and your water use. If you're using more water, your bill will be higher. If you're using less water, your bill might be less. And so it will vary throughout the year, summer versus winter, and your individual water use. I did also get the question about why is the meter fee portion increasing more than the volume rate portion? So under Proposition 218, we have to carefully figure out the fixed cost of running the system and how much should be fairly recovered from meter fees versus the cost of treating and delivering water. So it's in the report, we did a pretty detailed cost allocation to make sure each type of fee and rate that you're charging collects the appropriate amount of money. Okay, so next slide. So this slide shows that rate survey again, the before and after. So current rates, the typical bill, and then the typical bill under the proposed rate. And the Discovery Bay didn't even change in the plan. So even with that proposed first year, July 1st rate increase, Discovery Bay still has a very low cost of service compared to a lot of these other agencies. Okay, so we can move on to sewer. Most of your sewer customers are billed a flat or fixed annual fee on the property tax roll. I showed it here monthly to just to give people a point of comparison. Most of us do our, you know, budgeting on a monthly basis, so it's kind of convenient. Except for the commercial customers are billed monthly based on their water usage. And in total, the sewer rates collect about $6.5 million. So the next slide is the sewer rate survey. So comparing Discovery Bay's current bill of about $88 to other local communities. And Discovery Bay is nearly the highest. The next one up is Mountain House. And I think the comments last time was it's the newer communities have the higher cost of service. Discovery Bay does have denitrification. Some of these others might not have that, might have a lower level of treatment, lower regulations. And again, just ask everybody to keep in mind that the water bill is pretty low, the sewer bill is pretty high, and then I'll show a combined bill of both of those, where Discovery Bay's combined bill falls kind of in the middle of these.
I'm sure the economies of scale based on the size of their municipalities, I mean, we're the smallest compared to all these. So.
Right. Yeah, that also has a big impact. All right, right along. So the sewer utility is doing pretty well financially. Revenues are covering costs. There's a little bit of positive net revenue, so you do have some revenues there to absorb future cost increases. So there's less of a need to bump up the rates. On the sewer side, the sewer fund also has very strong cash reserves. And again, you develop a financial plan to prudently use those reserves when needed for capital projects, but then also raise rates as needed. To fund it, you know, the remainder of projects, as well as use capacity fees for expansion related projects. So the total proposed rate increase on the sewer side is 6%. It's about 4% for operating costs and inflation, and then 2% for projects. If you go to the next slide. So in total, the sewer fund is proposed to make about $16 million of investment in the infrastructure over the next 5 years. The sewer fund is also proposing to do a solar project, again, with that subsidized state loan, and that project will reduce energy costs. And then the remainder of the projects will be funded with no other debt, so capacity fees, existing reserves, and a bit of rate increases. Next slide, please. So this is the analogous chart for the sewer cash flow, where the bars on the chart are expenses, and then the big black line is revenues. So we have some initial expensive projects, the iBank loan in the first 2 years, and then we're doing rate increases as we go along, and then eventually, you know, building up revenues and reserves. In the 5-year plan. So initially spending down our reserves and then building them back up, but slowly over time, which is a 6% rate adjustment. Okay, next slide, please. So this is the bill impact. So that residential sewer bill is increasing 6% per year proposed. And one comment I wanted to make as well is opposition 218 allows you to adopt a 5-year package of rates that are the legal maximum rate. So you can go up to the amount shown on the notice that we mailed to all your customers. But if the financials are better than what I projected here, you can always adopt something less without, you know, me having to do another rate study. So if you get grants that I didn't anticipate here, if inflation is not as bad as I anticipate, if you have more growth in your community, all those things could result in less of an increase than what I showed here. Or if your interest rates on your bonds are better than I projected. So this is kind of a worst case scenario. So just to recap, the water rate was a 20% proposed increase. Sewer rate was a 6% proposed increase. So combine those together for a typical single family customer, the combined increase is about 12% for that first year. And then it's about an average of about 9% per year. Next slide. So this slide is that sewer bill survey with that 6% rate increase. And so with that increase, your bill will be still very comparable to Mountain House. And then the next slide is that combined bill, so water plus sewer. So just everybody's current bill is in the bill, and then with that proposed July 1st rate increase, everybody's proposed bill is still in the middle of the comparable agencies. Again, these are the rates that we know of at this time. We expect a lot of these potentially are doing rate adjustments right now as well.
That was what I was going to ask. A lot of these other municipalities are going through the same process. Mm-hmm. Is that right? Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so just to wrap up with the schedule. So at this meeting, we are asking the board to approve the final report and authorize the printing and mailing of proposition to each notices. I was asked to attend the open house on May 1st, so I'll plan to be here. Shortly thereafter, I'll finish coordinating with the printing service to mail out the notices. The notices is a few page notice that I have a copy here. So it explains why we're proposing the increase of the rates, the description of all proposed rates and charges, and then the description of the protest process. So customers and property owners have the right to submit written protests. Only one protest per parcel will be counted. So if you own four parcels, you can submit four protests. But absent a majority protest tallied at the public hearing in June, there's no protest, the board can consider adopting rates up to the maximum shown on the notice. And then, so the public hearing is scheduled for June 18th, and then those rates could go into effect on the property tax roll. And then each year, as we're doing the budgeting process, you should look at the rates we have in the notice in the rate study and see how your financial performance is doing, and if you need to go all the way up to the rates proposed for the upcoming year, or if you want to adopt something less. So, happy to answer questions, and we are getting ready to mail those notices and finalize our report.
Wonderful. Board, anyone have any questions? We've seen this a couple times, so.
I did not before, since I'm new and I missed the last meeting, so I apologize. So I do have a couple questions. In terms of communication, you mentioned that you're gonna be mailing something out. I don't know what it looks like, so is it a description that is has a lot of legalese in it, or government jargon, or is it kind of clear and describes so that the residents can really understand what's going on?
Yeah, so it is a blend. The first most important thing with the notice is it is a legal document, so we have to check off all the procedures we're following. We do have a description of the background of why we did a rate study, what improvements we're funding, and we did have the communication consultant review it as well to kind of help me tone down the jargon. We also did a draft of a FAQ, frequently asked questions. Again, hopefully we'll be a little more reader friendly. And so I believe we have probably some additional outreach we're doing with the communication consultants as well.
Okay, that's fantastic. And then you mentioned that you're going to be here at the open house. Will you have materials that you can hand out that are really clear? And this rate study schedule, you know, has a lot of communication dates. Will you have something that you can hand out or show that what the steps are?
Yeah, I would say maybe I'll coordinate with staff to put that together. I think we have a lot of the bones starting the framework there. We just have to finalize it.
Okay. And my understanding from the overall presentation is there's really two things to help with capital improvements that are really important to the town. And perhaps, Dina, you could just articulate some of the maybe the two or three big highlight capital improvement long-term projects that you've been working on?
Yeah, so that what we have that's causing this rate study or the rate that to go up is we have a mainline pipeline replacement. And that's about 18 miles of AC pipe that we need to plan to replace. And so what we've decided to do is replace 1 mile per year. And so that's why we have this increase. That's kind of a slower rate increase. Another thing is we have cross connection coming. That's a state mandated project that the state is now pushing towards us. right now the plan is the mandate, but we don't know how quickly the state will turn around, look at everybody's plan and say, okay, now go ahead and do the construction. The cross connection is like putting a backflow device on any property that actually backs up to a body of water so that there isn't cross contamination into the water system. So that could be potentially fairly costly. So those are the main major projects on the water side. On the sewer side, we have a few projects that we do need to complete. Also, let me go back to one more on the water, excuse me. We're going to, well, two that we noticed that was actually kind of failed, the pump failed. We are looking at two different options. One, just to replace the pump, and two, do we want to look at something a little bit more efficient and long-term? So we do have that, a new well planned in there, and so that kind of was added into the rate study last minute, but it did not affect the rate. So the rate is still at the 22% and the, 22% and then 12, 12, and 12. Going to the sewer side, there are some small projects that we do need to complete to make the sewer system a little bit better. We have a decant station, we have some other little things, little odds and ends, belt presses, yeah, that we kind of put off for a little bit because we had some state mandate projects that we needed to do. So those are in that rate study as well.
Okay, and then it also looks like this is just to keep up, to cover costs with the rising cost of inflation.
It is. We have to keep a certain amount in reserves for emergency repairs because emergencies happen at all times, so we do have to keep reserves and to keep our operating, to keep everything operating. So.
Great, thank you.
Brian, any questions? Okay, we'll open to public comment. Please come up and state your name.
My name is Ray Hine, a San Bernardino resident. It's really more of a question on the study itself, just for education tonight before the public meeting. When this study was done, did it take into account the new building that's going on Newport Pixler? We've got the new building that potentially is on the other side of the marina with the land that had been bought there. That there's quite a bit of potential home growth over the next 20-year period. So the budgeting that you're looking at for the capital improvement, question is, did it take into development projects that are going to be in and around Discovery Bay, and how much of that has been factored in as a percentage? Because we know what the current water usage is, current demands are, but as we look at growth within the area, how has that already been factored in, or is there going to be a surprise and a ratchet up that we hadn't planned for? And when you're talking about the 18 miles of pipes, that if there's new demand because of new building, understanding what that might do to stress the existing system. So I think that would be really helpful as a resident to understand all that, because we absolutely see the building around us. We see that land's being sold around us for new development. We want new development and growth. It's great for the economy for all of us as well. It has to be factored in as well and explained. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Good question. All right. Thank you, Ray. Anyone else? Public comment? Would you like to come up? Come to the podium? Yeah. Anyone on the phone? No?
No, there are no hands raised online.
Okay. And with that, we'll close public comment. Is there a manager's report tonight?
There is. So Monica is going to give a
Oh, wait a minute. That's right. All right, we have a motion.
Yeah, I'll make a motion that we accept staff's recommendation with regards to the proposed water and wastewater rate study.
I second that motion.
Director Belcher?
Aye.
Director Graves?
Aye.
Vice President Couteau?
Aye.
President Graham?
Aye. And with that, the motion passes. Okay, now, so yes. Dina, do we have a manager's report tonight?
We have a landscape update, or an update from Monica. So.
The update's her shoulders out of her arms out of her sling.
I'm excited to share with you that a few months, well, end of 2024, I've been working with Contra Costa County with special districts, Regatta Park, Zone 57, and they have some park dedication plans. So they reached out to staff. We discussed where we thought those monies would be best used, and we all agreed for our park. Most underfunded and needs a lot of work. So we've already got approval from the county, building codes, the whole thing, everything ready to go. We're going to be removing the old playground structure there at Rabata Park and putting in something brand new, as well as putting a permanent shade structure over that smaller ADA playground that they put in a few years ago. So that's another pretty good thing that we're going to be bringing to that neighborhood.
That's awesome. How much money got allocated? You know, it's a rough number.
$350,000?
Yeah, it's over
$300,000.
That's
good. That's
nice. We never got an exact number from them, but roughly that.
I don't know if this is still rolling. I've been asked for swings, so I don't know if that's possible in the play structure, but. I don't know if that's even...
Yeah, the supervisor's office, and we worked in conjunction with the supervisor's office, and that office is actually who selected. We gave them six options to choose from, color schemes, everything, and then the supervisor's office actually made the final decision. And Stephen Griswold was great. He really helped kind of move this along. It stalled for a little bit, and he stepped in and really helped us push that.
Great.
Do you have a time frame when you think that would
so long as nothing changes too drastically in the world, because they have kind of warned us of that. That's why we kind of wanted to get everything signed, but getting materials late fall.
Well, congrats. That was awesome.
Yeah,
thank you.
That is,
we're excited.
Good news. That's wonderful.
And Monica?
Yeah.
I have a question. The Cornell Park play structure, what's your time frame on that for it being finished? I'm sorry, I didn't want to put you on the spot. I didn't mean to. Is it almost done?
I'm concerned to give a time and have it not happen and have people...
Because it looks close.
Cluster.
Yeah.
It is close, but we're not quite there.
Okay.
So... Soon.
Soon. Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm just so concerned. If I don't want to date, I don't want to guess and throw it out there and disappoint people.
It looks really good, and I just want to say I'm getting a lot of feedback of how people are really excited to get it open.
Yeah.
So,
thank you. Yeah, we're excited as well.
That's great. That's great. All right. Thank you, Dina.
Yes, I have two updates. So the first one. I have to respond to Contra Costa County regarding the property across the street. So if you have any other things that you would like to add to that response, so my typicals are the ingress and egress, parking situation, emergency services, regarding that apartment complex.
Increased traffic.
Yes, so I have all those typical ones that we kept on sending. If you have anything else that you would like me to submit in the response, please email me tomorrow or Friday at the latest. Friday morning at the latest, okay?
Response to?
Contra Costa County plan. So the developer put their plans into the county. They come to us, ask us for any feedback, and that's when I provide that feedback.
Are you adding on
to
the original letter? Is that
feedback.
What you'd be doing?
Yes, I would.
Can you shoot us that letter in the email
yes.
tomorrow morning, first thing, so we get a chance to review what's there?
Yes.
Thank you.
Has the developer made any changes to their original plan?
They have not.
Okay.
No. Much to my chagrin, I've tried. So,
certainly have tried.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
So on May 1st, we have our open house. So staff is hosting an open house. There will be projects, all the town projects that we're working on, the big projects, will have a table with displays or communications of some sort for people to come and walk through and ask their questions and see what we're working on. This is May 1st from 3 to 8 p.m. I have put this out everywhere. So we've sent out postcards to every home. We're going to be sending out a mailer to every home. We'll be putting out on social media, which we update on a weekly basis. It's on the website. I've given you guys some things to hand out as well, some invitations. So we like to invite the community to come and hear about some of the things that we're working on and stuff. That's the end of my report.
Excellent. We have any directors' reports? No? Training, no correspondence. Andy?
I have nothing.
Nothing legal. Future agenda items? Nothing. And with that, we'll end the meeting at 7:45 p.m.